The number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Brett Ciancia with us, Big Six Previews. Always a pleasure to have him here. And hey, Brett, up where you're at. Penn State finished 10-2. Was that considered a satisfactory season? Is everybody happy?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on. And with Penn State fans, and I think it's just more of the same. It's kind of status quo. It's, you know, an impressive 10-win season. It was a great recruiting year. Those things seem to happen most years, but still came up short against the two biggest opponents on the schedule, blocked them from contending for the Big Ten East and the Big Ten Conference, and then, of course, a playoff. All those are still on the table, what they want in future years from James Franklin. So, they don't want to take 10-win seasons for granted. They are special. Look around the country, it's hard to do. But with that said, they're so close to breaking through that it is frustrating. So you're kind of caught in that no man's land. But it was really strong recruiting, good 10-win season, but just not enough to break through.
On that same topic, bowl season-wise, there's some talk that the Rose Bowl, because Ohio State was there last year, may opt for Penn State, and there's talk that Ohio State would also prefer not to go to the Rose Bowl, go to the Orange Bowl, which would knock Tennessee out of the Orange Bowl and put Tennessee in the Cotton Bowl. I know that's kind of confusing, but is Penn State anticipating a Rose Bowl?
Well, I'm sure that their fans and the school and the team would love to get to the Rose Bowl. Last time they were there was against USC, maybe about 5 years ago.
Heck of a game.
Heck of a game. It was the Saquon Barkley year against, I think it was a Clay Helton USC team, but great game. They would love to be back there, and I think that any team in America would love to play in the Rose Bowl. It's quite a consolation prize. I mean, of course, that used to be the goal back in before the BCS and even during the BCS for some programs. With the playoff, you almost forget about it. It's a shame because it's so important to the sport. Last year, when it was Utah versus Ohio State, you saw so many players opting out. It didn't seem right. But I think that if Ohio State makes the playoff here, if Utah pulls the upset over USC, then you have a scenario where Penn State goes to the Rose Bowl. And I think everyone would be excited about that.
Were you surprised at the Michigan-Ohio State outcome?
Yeah, I really was. I did not see a blowout coming in. I thought it'd be a grind either way for Ohio State or Michigan. I think that I was more surprised than just how it exploded at the end there with the long yardage plays, the breakdowns. I think the most important storyline to the playoff race all season, we talked about this for 52 weeks, was the Jim Knowles hire at Ohio State and the Knowles effect. And it looked great through 11 games. It looked great through 11 and a half games. Really, that first half against Michigan, they were containing the run. I think it was 11 carries for 10 yards, under a yard per carry. But with that, they sold themselves out a bit to the long yardage pass play. They were so hyper-focused on stopping the run that Michigan hit some big plays in the first half through the air. But still, it was a tie game or close at half. But then in the second half, the whole levee broke, and it was just like the 2021 game, long runs, long passes, and Ohio State couldn't keep pace with their own offense. So, yeah, I was shocked. I thought that the Knowles effect and the defense would hold their own better.
Tom in Myrtle Beach. Ask Brett, does he agree with the thinking that if the top three teams, that would be Georgia, Michigan, TCU, lose, they still get in? Meaning in their championship game.
Yeah, and it's important to look at the history of it. It is rare for a conference title loser to make it in, to be selected 12 hours later the next morning, Sunday morning, into that bracket. But every year's different, and when you look at the field this year, I think that those undefeated teams have built such a big lead, especially Georgia and Michigan in the committee's eyes. I think that they're head and shoulders above the rest of the pack in terms of what the committee's viewing. I would throw TCU in there myself, too. I don't know where the committee's heads are at with that, so I don't want to forecast that. But if it was up to me, I would throw TCU up in that undefeated upper tier as well. All the ranked wins they have, just the way that they've shown fourth quarter grit and second half comebacks and It's hard to go undefeated. I think we sometimes lose track of this. We take it for granted. But to go undefeated in a Power 5 league is extremely brutal, extremely tough. It's a grind. So I think all of them have built a big enough lead that, yes, I'd give them a mulligan, barring a 42-point blowout or something. But I think that they have built a big enough lead.
Do you think that if Southern Cal loses again to Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, that Ohio State, last night they were number 5, it's as simple as them sliding into 4?
I think it is. And we saw that was the intriguing thing last night, was to see the pecking order behind the top 4. And it was between USC, Bama, and Tennessee. The Bama and Tennessee group have 2 losses. Tennessee actually beat Bama head-to-head, we forget. But, I mean, look at their rankings, you'd think they'd be higher. Ultimately, the committee went with Ohio State, just 1 loss there. They were 11-0 heading into Saturday, losing to the number 2 team. Of course, that second half did get out of hand, but they were impressive all season. So, and again, in most years, that probably wouldn't be a playoff team when you look at the resume. But given all the upsets and the losses across the board this year, that Ohio State right now has the 5th-best team. And I think for USC, if they were to lose again to Utah, now that would be 2 losses to Utah. I don't remember a team ever losing to a team twice in a season and still making the playoff. It doesn't make sense. I mean, how could they be one of the best 4 in the country but have lost twice to 1 opponent? So that would be an eliminator for sure for USC, and Ohio State would take over the number 4 spot.
Brett Cianci of Pick 6 Previews with us. Talking about it before you joined us, the Rose Bowl's been given an ultimatum of today, Wednesday, to be in or out on this contract addendum to get the 12-team playoffs expanded by 2024. And they want some guarantees for the future, and I won't get into all that. I was talking about it earlier. Do you have any feelings there? Do you think they will be in or out?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. It's a topic I haven't really followed that much during the season, so I don't want to speak out of line. But I think just on a bigger level, the Rose Bowl is so important to the sport, the history, the pageantry. I kind of like how they stand their ground sometimes. I guess the thing I can compare it to is when all the bowl games were buying up their sponsorships, getting all this extra cash and getting the big corporate name on their logos. It was the Rose Bowl, the last stand. They refused to do it. Finally, they were called the Rose Bowl game presented by, and then you had the company. So I know that's very small, but in a sense, that is what's going on here. They're still defying the change around them, the corporate nature of college football. So I guess if you're a traditionalist, I think you side with the Rose Bowl. Whatever their stake is, you want to give them power.
Brett Cianci, Pick 6 Previews. Brett, have you noticed anything? We're about to have a stampede in a couple of days, literally, in the transfer portal. Now, players are already announcing that they're going to transfer, but you can't legally be in the portal yet until, Sunday, Monday. And then we're going to have a big list of players. Has anything jumped out to you yet?
Yeah, well, I think that from things I'm hearing and things we're reading online and just talking to people, it's going to be all time. It's going to be the biggest game of musical chairs we've ever seen, and that's coming off of 2 years where I said the same. I mean, it's just getting bigger every year, year over year. And, I hope that, for the student-athletes, I hope they get what's best. And if the move really is what's best, then that's great for them. Now, of course, sitting here as a college football preview author here, owner and author of Pick 6 Previews, it is such a headache logistically going through and just shifting all these players around. I know that that's a small piece in the big puzzle, but I'm just saying from my personal perspective, it's going to be a lot of effort. I love it. I love digging in. I love looking at all 66 of these Power 5 teams. But just hearing the words transfer portal, it's bringing back memories from last cycle. It's going to be crazy. So buckle up. You have that. You have early signing day coming. We still have the coaching carousel, which seems a little bit lighter than last year, but let's just see if there's any more big dominoes to fall and it sparks back up. That's what kept happening last cycle, where we thought it was done, and then a big blue blood would make a move and everything opened up again. So far, pretty calm of a coaching carousel relatively, and we'll see if more action happens.
Hugh Freeze, Auburn. Matt Rhule, Nebraska. Luke Fickell, Wisconsin. Brent Key, who was the interim, has been announced as the guy at Georgia Tech. Any of those jump out at you?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of great hires happening across the board. You know, Nebraska went out and signed Matt Rhule. Of course, you know, trademarked rebuilder of programs. He rebuilt Temple in Philadelphia. Then he went down and rebuilt Baylor after their scandal, got them to the conference title. And if there's ever a program, a Power Five, that needs a rebuild, it's Nebraska right now. The only team in America, or at least in the Power Five, that hasn't made a bowl game in the last 5 years, and that's including Rutgers, Kansas, you know, all the other teams that tend to struggle. So Nebraska really needs a rebuild. But it is funny to me, the timing-wise, where, you know, after their big splash hire, Matt Rhule, then the next morning Wisconsin comes out and signs Luke Fickell, who I think is a great hire themselves. I mean, a proven head coach, got Cincinnati to the playoff, a couple undefeated or one-loss seasons there, knows the Big Ten footprint. So I thought that it was ironic to me that, you know, Nebraska has lost to Wisconsin, what, 10 years straight now, and then the next morning they you know, they get one-upped in a way, or at least the attention is thrown onto Wisconsin with their hires. So two excellent hires there in the Big Ten West. They're upgrading. What else do we have? Kenny Dillingham, congrats to him, one of the youngest guys out there to get the head coaching role at Arizona State. I had a chance to talk to him last cycle when he was taken over at Oregon. So a great young offensive mind and loves Arizona State. He's from there. What else? Yeah, Hugh Freeze, welcome back to the SEC. Just another day in the SEC with all the drama down there. It is great, the best reality show to watch, you know what I mean? So that'll be exciting. And then, I think we're going to see some more dominoes drop, but not as hectic as last year, where 25% of Power 5 had new head coaches.
There's some talk that Cincinnati, and this is just a random article I was looking at, is now looking at, now here's three names: Tom Herman, Brian Hartline, the wide receiver coach here at Ohio State who brings in five-star receivers every year, and then Deion Sanders.
That's quite their list. And, I saw a tweet also, not that he's considered, but I saw a young Urban Meyer, his alma mater was Cincinnati. I saw pictures of him playing for Cincinnati.
Right.
I thought, man, that would be quite a pipe dream for them to land that former national title coach. But, yeah, that is quite a list there. We'll see what happens. Deion Sanders was reportedly offered by Colorado, amongst others teams. I heard USF was in the mix for him, so that would be quite a splash hire in the recruiting world and the branding world. That's becoming important now. I mean, I don't know. And then, the Brian Hartline thing is interesting, too. I mean, he's the best receiver coach in America. He lands five stars every year, multiple some years, at Ohio State. So how would he fare in a bigger role? I heard maybe Kevin Wilson would be a package deal for him, bring out Ohio State's play caller and offensive coordinator. So very interesting. What's going to happen in Cincinnati, and we forget, but that's a Big 12 team now. You know, the clock is ticking. This is now a Power 5 program in name, too, not just in, they always were close competitively as a Power 5 team, but they're in there now. So that might give them some extra clout in the carousel.
Tell everybody how they can get your content.
Yeah, thanks. It's at Pick 6 Previews on Twitter, picksixpreviews.com. It's an annual season preview book. Magazine coming out every July, and I mean, the results are coming in soon on the accuracy of last year, but the projections look great. I'm trying to go for not only the 3-year title, but the 5-year and the 10-year, the decade title. So those should be coming out in a couple weeks once the season ends. And I mean, if my projections are right, it's looking great. So thank you to all who supported and followed on Twitter and bought the book and talked about it and spread the word. It looked like another successful year here.
See you next week, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Brett Cianci of Pick 6 Previews with us every Wednesday. Blake Ruffino, top of the hour. Yeah, there's a rumor now. This is Twitter stuff that Urban Meyer might be taking the Cincinnati job.